The chief musician upon Shushaninim, Edith, a psalm of Asaph. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and giveth them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt, thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. So once again, the title of the psalm here, we see we have a psalm of Asaph, which is delivered to the chief musician. And for the fourth time, we have a song upon Shushanim, okay? And that word means lilies. And the other psalms being 45, 60, and 69. Edith means testimony. So this psalm is a song of testimony to be accompanied by trumpets, okay? Remember we talked about how a lily and a trumpet look alike. So most commentators and Hebrew scholars feel that that word was mention of trumpets. So this was a song that would be played on trumpets, and it was a song of testimony, okay? Again, delivered by Asaph to the chief musician. In verse 4, the phrase, how long wilt thou be angry? That phrase, wilt thou be angry, literally means to smoke with rage. You ever see, like, in a cartoon or an illustration, sometimes when people are really mad, it's like there's smoke coming out of their nose? Well, that's the picture here. So it has to do with someone being really angry, okay? Notice in verse 15 and in verse 17. In 15, the word branch, and the branch that thou makest strong for thyself. And then notice the word son in verse 17. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man. These are the same Hebrew word, and the Hebrew word is ben, okay? And that means son. Therefore, this is a messianic psalm, okay? Keep a mark there. Turn with me a moment. Notice the mention of branch. Notice the mention of Son of Man. And notice the mention of the right hand of God. Turn with me to Isaiah 11. How can we prove that this is a messianic psalm? Isaiah 11. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a what? Branch shall grow out of his roots. And in In Isaiah, there are many passages in Isaiah, as well as Zechariah, a few in Jeremiah, talk about the branch, okay? And the branch being the Lord Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus called himself Son of Man. And it's probably the name in the Gospels that is most used concerning the Lord Jesus. And then look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, it is set down where? At the right hand of the throne of God. So these three things are mentioned in this psalm. The branch, the Son of Man, the man of God's right hand. So we put that together, and this is none other than a messianic psalm which talks to us about the Lord Jesus. It's interesting that Psalm 80 picks right up where Psalm 79 left off. Look at the end of Psalm 79, verse 13. So we, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture, right? And Psalm 80 starts out what? Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. So the reference to the sheep, you know, and then in the next psalm, the reference to the shepherd of Israel, okay? So again, both are psalms of Asaph, and many commentators feel that these two psalms go together. So we have the outline for us there, verses 1 to 3, a prayer to the shepherd of Israel, verses 4 through 7, a description of their current situation, verses 8 to 19, the past experiences are the basis for future deliverance, and these are broken up into three parts, verses 8 to 11, transplant or uproot. And I forgot to put the verses here, so you can write it down on the side if you want. Verses 12 to 13, broken down hedges. And verses 14 to 19, the man of his right hand. So let's look at this psalm for a few minutes. And look at verses 1 to 3, a prayer to the shepherd of Israel. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. Thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. So in this first stanza, Asaph utters a prayer to the shepherd of Israel to turn and lighten the nations. Give light to the nations. Turn them to thyself. For salvation, for revival. In verse 2, you'll notice three tribes. Why are these three tribes mentioned? Why are Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh mentioned? These are the sons of Rachel. Okay, Rachel was the beloved wife of Jacob. Remember, Jacob went north to find a wife, and he found and fell in love with Rachel, but he was tricked on his wedding night and got Leah instead. And from Leah came the kingly tribe and the priestly tribe, but the beloved wife was that was Rachel, and her children were Joseph and Benjamin, okay? Why is Joseph not mentioned? Why is Ephraim and Manasseh mentioned? Well, remember, Joseph being the son of the beloved, who received the double portion? Joseph did, okay? So rather than the tribe of Joseph, we now have his two sons, the tribe of Manasseh and Ephraim. He received a double portion. Turn back to Genesis 48. And we see this in Jacob or Israel's blessing the children before he blesses his sons. He says this in Genesis 48 and verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, "Behold, thy father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. So we don't hear of the tribe of Joseph, but we hear of the tribe of Manasseh and Ephraim. But that really is the fruit of Joseph, okay? And because of his double portion. Of course, Benjamin is Joseph's younger brother. So these three tribes followed directly behind the ark when it traveled, and therefore the statement is made before Ephraim and Manasseh and Benjamin and Manasseh, because they are encamped closest to the ark in the Holy of Holies. On the back of your page, you have an illustration of the encampment based on Numbers chapter 2 and Numbers chapter 3. And you'll notice there in the center is the tabernacle. And around the tabernacle, all around it, north, east, west, and south, the tribe of Levi camps. And you'll notice there in the tabernacle, you see the tabernacle, you see the courtyard, okay? You see the altar for the priest to clean. Then you see next to it the burnt altar. You see the brazen laver where they cleaned, and you see the altar. And then you see the rectangular building, which was the tent. And that was divided into how many parts? Two. There was the holy place, and then there was the holies of holies, okay, as you entered in. So right in the back and living closest to the Holy of Holies, not counting Levi, is Benjamin, Manasseh, and Ephraim. And speaking about living the God who lives between the cherubim, they were encamped closest to that. So that's the reference here, okay? That's what that means. That's why those three tribes are mentioned and not others, okay? Notice stanza 2 with me, verses 4 to 7, a description of their current situation. So at the writing of this psalm, this is what Asaph tells us that Israel was experiencing. O Lord God of hosts, how long will thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. So here again, Asaph gives a description of their sad and current situation, and asks, how long? How long is this going to go on? Their lot is terribly sad because there is an angry God, and we saw that, literally a smoking God. There's a weeping nation, and there is a mocking enemy. Their prayers aren't being answered, right? The nation is weeping, and their enemies are laughing at them and mocking them. We don't know the exact situation around here, around the writing of this psalm, but it was a time when Asaph felt that God, again, wasn't listening. God was angry with them, okay? And again, as different with Asaph than a lot of the other psalm writers, he writes a lot of national psalms, things that were going on in the nation, okay? And this is the situation they feel. So then here in the third stanza, we have the past experiences as the basis for future deliverance. Remember, this is a psalm of testimony. So what is so important about sharing testimonies? You remember what God did for you in the past, okay? It is always, not to live in the past, but it is always good to rehearse the past, to know how God delivered, and that gives you strength for to deal with present things or future things. Okay, so Asaph recalls what God has done as the basis to save them now. So this section is divided into three parts. Look at verses 8 to 11. Transplant or uproot. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. So these verses speak of how they had been transplanted while others were uprooted, and how they took deep roots and spread abroad. Think about it. God delivered them out of Egypt, okay, and planted them in the land of Israel. And through the planting, there was the time of the judges, and then Samuel, then the time of the kings, and of course the first king Saul was not a godly king, but then David came and the kingdom grew. Solomon came and this kingdom was at its zenith. And it was like a tree that is planted and then begins to take root, and its branches, you know, go all over and affect everyone around it. And this is what God had done to Israel. This is what he had done for Israel. In verses 12 to 13, we see broken down hedges. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. So again, in verses 12 to 13, because of the broken down hedges, they were everyone's plunder, the valleys being ruined by both man and beast. And in those days, what was built around a vineyard were these hedges that kept out people, that kept out the enemy. And ultimately here, who is the hedge about Israel? God, okay? And he's asking, God, why have you torn down your protection, so that the enemy can plunder us, and even the wild beasts are plundering us, okay? So then we see in verses 14 to 19, the last section, the man of his right hand. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. So in these verses, Asaph offers a prayer that God would look down, strengthen, and quicken, and so establish the man of his right hand. And of course, we already saw verses which I believe this points to the Lord Jesus. Now notice in verse 3, 7, and 19, we have very similar phrases, and that kind of divides the psalm up. In verse 3, we see, here is a verse, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. So we see the phrase, O God, in verse 3. In verse 7, same exact verse, turn us again, O God, except O God of hosts is added. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And look at verse 19. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. So there's an increasing emotion. There's an increasing appreciation. And there's an increasing appropriation of God's character and quality. In verse 3, we see Elohim. In verse 7, we see the God of hosts. And in verse 19, we see Jehovah, Elohim, Jehovah God of hosts. Who could be the man of his right hand, the Son of Man, other than the Messiah, the Lord Jesus? He is not only Israel's only hope. He's our only hope. And so tonight, what do we take from this psalm? If we could take from this psalm as we go to prayer, tonight as we pray, may we look to God's deliverance in the past as the hope for his deliverance in the future.